doing a little bit of the home exercise, and in doing that, I'd like to kind of hear from you guys about your research, but presented in a way in which you are kind of telling me about how it's original. Okay, so I'm going to try to be really good about paying attention to the chat as well while I talk, but if I miss it for some reason, just feel free to repeat whatever it was you were chatting or send a few messages in case I miss it, because I've got a few screens open here. Okay, so we've got Xiaoting, is that the right way to say it? And Gina, and I've got Damilare, Charlie, Yonsu, and I'm going to unfortunately butcher the name, Binjuan, is that how you say it? I hope I'm reasonably close to that. But I received homework from two people. Most recent piece of homework I got was from Damilare. So Damilare, are you happy to sort of answer the question of how you would define originality and kind of give me your thoughts on what makes your work, piece of work, original? Should we start with that?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I think I can remember the way I answered it was that what makes my work original is when it has not, I'm trying to remember.
You know, I can pull it. You, I've got it here. So if you, if that's easier for you, I can pull up your own.
Let me try and remember what I think the third point I raised was the point of plagiarism. Well,
Right.
it must not be plagiarized. That's the third point. I think the first point I raised was the fact that it must have independent thought, like it must have an independent thought process to it. It must be something that shows critical thinking.
Okay.
You know, then the second, I think I raised 3 points. The second point was the fact that must be, apart from just being, apart from demonstrating the fact that there was an independent thought process to it must be coherent. Like,
Okay.
there must be flow in it. So
Okay.
then it
And do you
must have demonstrated, the fact that a lot of research was brought together, but there is also a side to the original side of the writer to it, apart from all the evidence from all the other researchers.
Okay.
I'm trying to hope.
And well, no, that's great. No, that's absolutely great. So, do you want to sort of briefly introduce your work in terms of its originality? You happy to do that?
It's fine. My work is the work I introduced in the assignment was my research dissertation. It's focused on it's a systematic review of nasopharyngeal cancers in sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay.
The presentation, the prevalence, the presentation, the pathology, and the viral association. That's it. So something like that has been done somewhere before. So I'm just trying to replicate something like that in Africa and to see the what is obtainable with my research.
Okay. So did you say something like that has been done before, but not in Africa?
Yes.
Okay.
So the
Where was
original,
it done before? Okay.
originality now is the fact that I'm doing something that has something similar in Africa that has not been done before.
Okay. So that right there obviously is the originality part of it, right? So the study and the models, perhaps even the methodology, has been done before, but it hasn't been studied in this particular field site, we could say, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. All right. I think there was another homework submission. Yonsu submitted as well, right? Yonsu, are you happy to share what you think makes a piece of research original, and also perhaps introduce your research and how that's original, or what makes it original.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
For me, I think originality is kind of drawing new ideas, and also it's kind of contribution to the existing theory by using new cases. So for my dissertation, I'm trying to figure out the relationship between political power and development outcomes. So for that, I want to use two case studies, Rwanda and Burundi. So they, even though they have a lot of similarities, including location and the size of population and resources, political conflict, but they have different developmental outcomes. But I, but recent, as far as I know, there are loads of literature on Burundi and Rwanda because they have a lot of similarities, as I already said. But for me, I want to focus on the political leadership and political settlements between these two countries. Many literatures compare these countries by focusing on the political conflict and genocide, but many of them don't really touch on the political leadership and industrialization. So my, I guess my originality is on in the relationship between political settlements and industrialization in these two countries.
Okay, great, thank you. All right. Before we go on, I think Yeonsu actually brought up a really interesting point, and it's kind of a paradox, which perhaps might be why identifying originality can be hard for some students, because what she said was it's presenting new ideas, but it's also a contribution to existing theory. And I think that's really the kind of tension that we need to keep in mind, that on the one hand, we need to always show that our research is contributing, right? Which means it's adding to things that have already been done. And when we're doing that, the danger is to do something that's very similar, right, to what's already been done, because we're thinking about it in terms of adding and contributing. And then the trick, and the trick is really to figure out how we're adding to those things while also adding something new, right? That's the way that you want to think about it. How can I demonstrate that my research is contributing to what already exists while also being something totally new that nobody has ever done before, right? That is, in a sense, the tension. And so already from your two classmates, we have two different examples of how to do that, right? So for Damilare, he was saying, you know, this particular study has been done, but it's never been done in Africa. So it's a question of location, it's a question of field site, it's a question of applying a certain model onto a completely different variable or field site. Whereas for what Yeonsu said, she said there's lots of literature on, I think you said Rwanda and Burundi, right? But it's about the focus, it's about her particular theoretical and empirical focus on political conflict and genocide, I think is what she said, right? So already that's a really good intro into kind of the diverse, some of the diverse ways in which you can be original. I'd like to hear, please, from some of the other students here. It's okay if you didn't submit your homework, but we've got Charlie. Charlie, are you happy to talk about what you think makes a piece of work original, and or introduce yourself and your research in terms of its originality?
Hey, yes, I am actually doing my dissertation on anthropology of education. Yeah, so originality for me, I think, first of all, the proper, I don't know if it's relevant, but I think the proper referencing to support my originality is necessary, because that's how to make, because if I reference, if I borrow others' ideas properly, that also contributes to my originality. Yeah, and then it's going to be my, for example, because I'm doing my field work, I did my field work in a school in China, in an international British international school in China. So I think my originality, this field work and my analysis on the field work, on this field work with the help from proper referencing, these three elements combined together can be related to my originality. But like in my real work, I still, even for the theories, even for the analysis, I have to borrow ideas, for sure borrow ideas from other like social, like educational anthropologists or social anthropologists, like Foucault. So how to make it so to borrow their ideas properly in a way, in terms of interpreting of their ideas with my own stuff is like another more detailed like aspect of showing originality, because it's easy to mix it up. So how to distinguish their ideas and my ideas clearly, but make them correlated. I think that's what I think.
I think that's a really, really good point. So you've definitely added to a few of the points that we already have now. And this is a really kind of subtle point that you've made, Charlie, which is, if I understood you correctly, it is some of the ways we can show our originality is in the ways in which we interpret prior literature or other sources, right? So what that means, if I'm understanding Charlie correctly, but I mean, I see this again in my own work and in other bodies of work that I read, is, you know, you mentioned Foucault, so I'll just go along with that. It could be anybody, but so people will say Foucault has an idea on X, on governmentality, right? For example, and that'll become this thing that people will cite, and then bodies of literature will keep citing this one thing about governmentality. Now, someone might come along like Charlie and say, actually, this stream of thought that you guys have been building on from this idea of governmentality, you might have misread what he was actually saying. And so when I come forward with my argument, what I'd like to do is reinterpret the popular conception of, or the sort of mainstream perception of governmentality, not as what everyone else has been thinking, but perhaps as X, right? And and that's a way of being original, right? So
yeah.
Or I don't know if I understood you correctly, if that was what you were saying, but that's what I got from what you said. Is that correct?
You are right. You are right. Basically, the absolutely like distinct, like the distinguish between if it's like a directly from focus work, or if it's from an analysis, from a review of focus work. If I want to borrow that, I have to fully understand like what focus original idea was, and then to understand the analysis and to show my understanding to both of them in the essay, and then plus my own, like if I've got my additional stuff from myself.
So, right.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
No, I think that's
just before you answer that question, Summer, I just wanted to say that I think the slides are not currently showing.
I'm not showing them. I'm not showing them yet. I was going to go around and have everybody talk, and then
That's good to know then. Okay. No, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. I just wanted to clarify. Please continue and answer Charlie's question.
No,
cheers.
Absolutely not. Okay, so that's Charlie. We've got Binjuan. Binjuan, do you wanna? I'm embarrassed because I'm mispronouncing the name. Binxuan. Are you happy to also contribute with introducing your research and what makes it original? Is she here? No. Okay. Gina? Gina here?
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so my research is about teachers' self-efficacy in terms of online teaching, and especially in fostering higher order thinking. And I'm seeing originality in my work as deepening the understanding, because teacher self-efficacy about online teaching has been widely researched. However, it was mainly focused on technology integration, and there are not a lot of work with a specific focus on online learning, especially online learning and fostering higher order thinking. And then I am using theoretical framework of community of inquiry, which was never been used to analyze teaching self-efficacy before. So okay. I am drawing the theory into combining with self-efficacy, which is another construct in education psychology.
Okay, great. I think that's, so it's really nice that everybody is kind of giving a different answer. So it's really adding to our understanding here. So that's another point. It's interesting to think about originality as also just a kind of, it doesn't have to be this way, but a kind of what you're describing is a vertical deepening of existing knowledge, right? And so these are all things that you should be sharing early on in your piece of work, right? By conducting my study in this way, I hope to either show how a pre-existing model can also be applied to Africa, or I hope to focus on political conflict and genocide in order to highlight an emphasis that hasn't been highlighted before, or I hope to reinterpret some of the pre-existing literature, or by framing my study this way, I hope to deepen the understanding of self-efficacy in online teaching, right? So these are all really, really great answers and contributions. Is there anyone else who would like to contribute and introduce their research before we move on, or any questions? No? Okay.
A question? Yeah. I have a question on reinterpretation, and it's slightly related to my insecurity as a student. So what if in the process of reinterpretation, what if I misunderstand or misread the message, like wrongly, of the author, and I make my own argumentation, which is coming from the misreading. Mm-hmm. So that's like one of my concerns when I try to be original in terms of literature review or critical engagement with the literature.
Right. I think, so there's a way to kind of break that question apart. It's a really good question. One is that if it's someone really, really well known, I'm in the social sciences, so apologies for using those references, but I mean, so we use Foucault or Bourdieu or, Charles Taylor for secularism or something like that, or anyone we consider to be a primary source, Marx, Hegel, right? You can read those sources, but there will be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have also read and interpreted from there. And your job is to sift through some of the different interpretations while also keeping the primary source in mind. So something that makes a piece of writing really solid is to show that you've at least attempted the primary sources, right? So that doesn't mean reading Hegel in German, although if you can do that, that's really amazing and you should. But it's reading perhaps a translation of the primary text, and then it's reading people who have interpreted that and see if you can place their interpretations in different columns or different kinds of streams of thought. They're not all going to follow one line. From there, you can take your interpretation, right, and place it there and see, because it's unlikely that you're going to have a radically different, interpretation. A lot of the changes and original contributions we're talking about are things that are really subtle, and that's something else to keep in mind, right? The cliche of reinventing the wheel or whatever, I mean, that we're not doing that, right? So that would be one thing. But also, I mean, if you have a supervisor or a mentor or someone in your field or a professor, you know, obviously this research in a sense is isolating, but in a sense, you know, it is also not completely done alone. And so if you have a mentor or advisor, supervisor, teacher, et cetera, this is the time exactly here to highlight in your piece of work and say, look, have I misread this author? You know, am I completely off base? I mean, and that's happened to me. I've written a draft for my first year PhD report where my supervisor was like, no, I think that's not the best reading, you know, of this text. You know, I think you can do a better reading of that. So that happens all the time, and it's useful to have someone else look at that work. And does that answer your question at all?
Yeah, it did. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay, great. All right, if we don't have anybody else
for a second, because I got an email from Christine. She says she's in the waiting room.
So
I'm not sure if she's there or not, because I got an email that she can't access the...
Okay, so now... Stop sharing this to add her?
You can open the participants. Yeah, or that.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Hi. Oh, she's joining. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Great. So let me get back to the slides. Yeah, so this is kind of the structure of what we're going to do. I jumped ahead by already just starting, but we kind of talked a little bit about your research and kind of examples that you've given, which have been really, really helpful. Those exact examples are not on this PowerPoint, so if you're at home, you know, probably useful to write those down. So we've already gone and done this. Let's go ahead into... Where does originality fit into marking criteria? Okay. So as I said before, where it fits in exactly I didn't say this before, but I'll say it now. Where it fits in will differ and depend in your field, right? So if anyone's working in the hard sciences or even kind of within anthropology, for example, biological anthropology, there'll be more of an emphasis on, I guess, group work, or sort of less about independent research and more about tweaking something that might have been done before, or something to do with limitations, right? Versus perhaps something in the humanities or in the social sciences, which tends to ask for a little bit more of independent work and independent research. But here you've got an example of marking criteria for most dissertations, right? So from the good, excellent, outstanding, and exceptional.
Salma, is it good to do full screen maybe, just so that it could be seen a bit better?
Oh, I thought it was. Okay, how do I, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I think it's just like, what is it? Is it view? Maybe view if you go on.
Slideshow.
Slideshow.
Okay. That better?
Yeah, that's much bigger. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, good. Thanks for that. Sorry. I'm an old school teacher, guys. Sorry. Not yet used to all that. I'm used to like a whiteboard and writing on the board. But bear with me. I know the stuff, just not Zoom very well. All right, so excellent, outstanding, and exceptional. What we could see from here is a variety of ways in which your work can be original, okay? So we've got an area of research aims, okay? We've got research techniques, so methodology. You've got your reading, which is, you know, do you choose relevant research and relevant literature, but also, interestingly, can you also go beyond that literature? And can you kind of go and look at something else that might not traditionally be looked at when addressing this research question? Okay. We've got interpretation of evidence, which is different than interpreting ideas, but perhaps linked. We've got structure and development of your argument, how you're going to make your argument, and then writing and presentation, sort of less room for originality there. Okay, but this is a useful slide to really look at. And I know that, so I did a master's at Oxford before coming to Cambridge, and to get into Cambridge, I had to get a certain score. So I just pored over these kinds of marking criterias to the point where I just really internalized them and kind of picked out what mark it was that I really, really hoped to get and made sure I tailored my piece of writing to that. Okay, some of them are typically British in the sense that they're sort of vague and you're wondering, what does this word actually mean? What, you know, impressive, what does that mean, impressive? So if your university has a little bit more specific published marking criteria, it's a really good idea to go and look at that. I mean, our document at Oxford was pages and pages and pages of each marking scale. But for the most part, it's really nice to know that these are the broad categories. And I also, honestly, I will look through my document and at each stage of writing, really, and stop and really just check off, you know, do I have that? Am I showing adequate knowledge of the research techniques that are out there? Have I explained my methodology correctly? Okay, check. You know, and so at each stage, I kind of really go through these. So this is, I think, quite important to go back to. Okay, what is originality or uses of originality in academia? So yeah, right off the bat, we all have to submit a declaration that this is our original work, right? And in doing so, we are doing what Damilare said in terms of absolutely making sure that there's no plagiarism, right? I mean, that's number one, right? So anything that is in our document, in our piece of work, our dissertation or thesis, we have to make sure it's properly cited. And so obviously you guys are all should be well aware of how to cite properly. If it's a direct quote, you know, make sure you have that all with the page numbers and everything cited. And also if you're citing from a book and not a direct quote, making sure that you're paraphrasing, if you're taking the direct quote out, you're paraphrasing adequately, but also making sure you put a citation in, right? That's, I think, something that students stumble on. You take something from a book, it's not a direct quote, you write it in your own words, and then you think, well, I just kind of wrote that, maybe I don't need to cite that. So when in doubt, I'll always oversight rather than undercite. It's, you would never want to be penalized for inadvertently plagiarizing. And as I'm sure you all well know, with all the kind of software that's out there, it's really easy to run a piece of work through that and find things that are improperly cited. So absolutely, number one for originality is there for your academic integrity and by appropriate referencing. And the second point is the contribution to knowledge, right? And this is something that that one of you brought up now, Jinsoon, which was how you're contributing to theory, right? And this is the real tension. You've got an entire body of knowledge in your field. Where is your argument situated, okay? Really, really bluntly put, person A has said this, person B has been responding in this way, person C is doing this and this and this. I am going to situate myself here. I'm going to take a little bit from person A, a little bit from person C, but also these two studies have limitations and I'm going to go on this path, right? These are my research questions, okay? Clear so far? Yeah, okay. So where can I demonstrate originality? We've already talked a little bit about this, right? So we've got what is new about your topic? Why are you asking your research question and what makes it relevant? Okay. One of the things about being in an Oxford or Cambridge college is that you have to have lunch and dinner with people from all kinds of different fields. And the good thing about that is that you're forced to constantly explain your research to somebody and you constantly have to make it sound interesting and new. And, you know, you don't have to be at an Oxford or Cambridge college to have that practice, what you should do is actually just practice talking to people about your work or writing down what they call, in some contexts, an elevator pitch, which is really the answer to the questions right here on this slide. What is my topic in question? What is new about it? Why is it even relevant to ask my question? And so on, okay? It's really handy to have that almost memorized, honestly, that you can just kind of press a button here and press play and just give out what your research is and what makes it new and interesting, okay? I don't know if you want, I'm reluctant to bore you with details of my research, but if you think it's helpful, I can give you mine maybe at the end of the class or something like that. Okay, so literature review. What is missing in the literature and how does my study shed light on this unknown? This is one of the clearest and easiest ways to be original, to read widely within your field and figure out what is missing, okay? Sometimes you'll know what's missing when you read critiques of the work, okay? Or when you read in the introduction or preface, when people kind of say, I'm looking at XYZ, I'm not looking at ABC, okay? And so why aren't they looking at ABC might be a question for you to ask. You know, is it not interesting? Does the literature not support it? Those might be clues, right? But basically, looking at what's missing in the literature and how what you study could shed light on what's unknown. So it's important to critically analyze the literature and identify the literature gap and situate your research within it, okay? Really, really well-written research proposals and dissertations are very clear about doing this, okay? In your writing, you should try to be as clear about this as possible. Don't obscure it for your marker at all, okay? So for example, this particular topic is underexplored. Underexplored is a word that's often used to highlight a gap in the literature. Or for example, there's no interview-based study on this topic. So there might be a topic in which it's studied one way with a certain methodology, but not studied in terms of a different methodology, and therefore you are going to do it that way. Now, if you Google, which maybe you have done, how to be original in academic writing, one of the things that's important that pops up is that not everything that's missing is important, okay? And this is a trick, really. So the first trick is how to be original while also contributing to the literature, but the second thing is how to be interesting and importantly original, okay? So, I mean, I could go and study the grass outside of my window here, but is that really important? Well, yes, maybe it is, but maybe it isn't, right? If I think it is really important, I need to be really, really convincing about why it is. I can't just say I want to study the grass outside my window because no one else has done it before and therefore it's original research, right? It's got to be original and important. And sometimes you have to convince people that it's important. And you'd be surprised. I mean, more often than not, you really need to convince people that it's important. And especially these days when funding is tight, you want to get your project funded, you have to be really convincing about that, okay? All right, so methodology, which we've already touched upon a little bit, okay? How novel is my methodology? Really need to explain why the methodology you selected is important and the best way of answering your research questions. And that's also a very easy way for people to critique your work. That's something that comes up a lot in anthropology where we study groups of live people. It's almost, because anthropology wants to be a science but isn't a science and kind of is like the humanities but not in the humanities, the easiest way for people to poke holes in our work is through methodology. So it's always kind of, well, why did you do this and why didn't you do this? You know, for example, I work on women, a group of very large European, what we call Euro-American women. So first question I get all the time is, well, why aren't you talking to men? Right? So I have to be really prepared for that answer. Okay? So just be really certain about what your methodology is, why it's the best for the question you've highlighted, and how it might be novel. Okay? And next, next are your findings, okay? Have you found anything that's significant, that really contributes to the knowledge, okay? I'm gonna move my screen up. How do I hide you guys from here? Oh, there we go. Okay, so have you found anything that is new or makes a significant contribution? This could be a finding or the way in which the findings are used, which is very interesting. I would imagine that would be a lot of cases with kind of things that relate to public policy, sociological findings, for example. So for instance, some findings may support results from existing research, and especially when looking at a different case study, and that would be a contribution as well, okay? All right, any questions on that? No? Okay, let's go on to the next slide. Yes, okay, so we talked about this as well. Originality checklist, a small original contribution is still original. Okay, remember, also remember your the stage that you're in. I mean, I just kind of completed my second master's, and I had to be very clear and modest about what my contribution, if anything, really was. And, you know, a lot of times a master's is really just a way to show that you know how to do this, right, for the next stage. So it's really okay to be modest about what your contribution is, but just highlighting it anyway. Okay, really remember that it's okay to be small. Okay, so the first kind of checklist is theoretical and conceptual. Does my work develop a new theory? This is stuff I'm always really interested in. Or does my work develop on an existing theory? Both are fine, okay? Do I interpret a theory within a different context? Do my findings support or contradict the theories in my field? And did the study elaborate on particular concepts? Okay, these are all really, really great and helpful questions to ask yourself as you move forward. So obviously, does my work develop a new theory is kind of the biggest, most ambitious one you can have, all the way down to, did the study elaborate on particular concepts? Okay, and all of these are absolutely fine. Okay, so that's theoretical and conceptual, and then we've got empirical. So have I done any empirical work that was not done before? You know, that might be something interesting. Charlie mentioned he's doing anthropology. You know, you might be doing work in a place that people haven't studied before. You might be in a different region, or you might be in a place in a different region that people haven't studied, or you might be in a region that people have studied, but now you're doing it now in 2020 as opposed to, you know, 1973, and things have changed, etc. Is there anything original in the way I synthesized my information? Is another way to be original. Have I conducted research in an underexplored area? So there's that word again, underexplored, really important. You're never going to find a place anymore, a geographical place where people haven't been anymore. It used to be the case in my field where you could find a tribe far off that no one had ever visited before. Not anymore. But same also when we're not thinking about geographical locations. Most things have been explored, so probably best to use the word underexplored rather than never been studied before. And does my research tell us anything new about a sample, a location, or a context? Okay, so always fine to go to a location, context, or sample set that someone or groups of people have studied before, but maybe my research will tell us something different. Okay, next, methodological. Is there anything new in the methods I use or the way I use them? Did I develop a new research tool? Okay, and this is really interesting in the time of lockdown and coronavirus and things like that. I mean, people have been using digital methods for years and years and years, so it's not brand new, but perhaps you're discovering a new way to use those methods, right? Might be one example. You know, new platforms are being discovered all the time, new ways of using new platforms. So you might just stumble into a new research tool, and that is your contribution. Okay. Have I used a different methodology to explore a topic which was previously researched using a particular methodology? Another really good point. Okay. And that's something that's relevant for my research, where some of the times in which I would be meeting people face to face and doing what we call participant observation in anthropology, where you participate in their group activity and also observe, is something that has to be done online. And so that brings its own benefits to the research and also limitations, but that might be an original contribution to research. And overall, can anything in my dissertation be categorized as a major piece of information which is not presented elsewhere? Did I expand on an existing piece of work with new insight? And what is critical in my arguments and analysis? Now, all four of these things are all operating on one big assumption. Can anyone guess or offer a guess on what that big assumption is? In order to be able to answer any of these questions in your research, you have to have one thing in place already. Does anyone have an idea of what that might be? I was told sometimes you guys want to contribute, sometimes you don't. Yes, exactly. So Gina's put on the chat that I've read enough. That is exactly the right answer. Okay, very good. Yeah, so to make sure that you are original, you have to know all of the literature that's out there in your particular area of expertise, okay? All of the theoretical work that's done on it, the empirical work, the methodologies, etc. Okay, and one of my nightmares is missing a piece of work, right, that has kind of already answered something that I'm thinking about. So before you can decide that what you're doing is original, you have to absolutely make sure you have read everything that's out there. And don't be worried about the process of reading everything and feeling like, oh, everything's already been done, I don't know what I'm going to do now. It feels like that might be the case, but actually what ends up happening is the more you read, the more you figure out what the gaps are, you know, the clearer it becomes. And once you do, you will be more confident in what you're going ahead and doing. Okay, so very nice. All right, let's move on to, oh, we're already moving on to that. What time is it? It's 10 to 3. I didn't think we'd move so quickly. Let me see if I've missed a few things here. Okay, well, we can get into the live marking. Before we get into the live marking, though, I want to know what some of you guys think about this so far. We had a few ideas when we kind of brainstormed with the intro discussion, and now we've got a few more things based on the slides. What do you guys think? Anything you think you would like to add to this? Anything that's confusing? Let's go back to that one. Yeah, Gina, go ahead.
I have a question regarding the originality, expected level of originality in a master's program. Mm-hmm. So let's say if I am aiming for relatively higher grade of my dissertation, on what level is expected to be found as an originality from my dissertation, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I'm going to answer that based on comments I got on my exams, my MPhil exams and dissertation last year at Oxford. And one of the things I noticed about the markers there, and now, okay, bearing in mind you're at a different university, but I think it could be the same for all. I think that the examiners were really happy to see a student be ambitious in an informed way, right? So what I mean by that is that it is a process, which you very accurately highlighted, which is you have the foundation of knowing lots and lots and lots of literature, okay? And once you have that, what markers are looking for is what can you do with that huge body of knowledge? It's not interesting to examiners to have you just cite a bunch of literature. That's not showing critical thinking. That's just showing you know how to read and you know how to memorize if you're on an exam, or you know how to cite if you're writing a dissertation. But the question is, what can you, how critically can you approach most of that literature? And in that sense, there's really no limit, right? Whether it's a master's dissertation or a PhD thesis, or if it's a book or an article or what have you, right? In that sense, there is no limitation onto your level. What I meant when I said bearing in mind your level is that you don't have to be super ambitious and completely come up with a new theory, or feel like you have to come up with a new theory, you know, at master's level. That's all that I really meant. If you're able to, in a way that really links to pre-existing literature, that's amazing. So don't limit, I'm not trying to tell you to limit yourself at all. But what I meant was be okay with the expectation that actually it might not be something really, really big and obvious. But how well you do is again based on just how well you approach what's already out there and how critical you can really be. Does that answer your question?
If it doesn't,
we can maybe talk more about it. Does anyone else have anything they want to add to Gina's question that you think might be helpful? Any of you guys?
What I tried to say was, I don't know if you have watched the movie, The Theory of Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is this scene that he's merited with master's degree, and then he already has a breakthrough of a theory. We're talking about Stephen Hawking, but like, so that is the kind of impression I had before I started my master's degree, that I have to have something like really new to show. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm worried about.
Well, and also sometimes these things are really tailored to what your personal goals are. I mean, if your master's is one step onto a PhD, that was the case for me. So, I mean, I wrote an article before I started my master's. I'm an older student, so I was kind of working and teaching undergraduates, but not affiliated really at a university that I cared about. And but I wrote an article, you know, and then thinking that was really innovative and interesting. By the time I did 1 year of my second MPhil, I realized that what I wrote in that article was like not at all how I wanted to approach things. And so, you know, these things are rooted in time. Everyone has a career. And so, you know, something might be new and original for that time period, and that's fine. And then you move on. And as you learn and as literature develops as well, you know, those things change. But what I mean is, if you're doing a master's and hoping to do a PhD, a lot of times the master's is just to demonstrate that you can do these things, right? That's the point of this slide here, where you can demonstrate originality. You know, for your PhD. But I mean, if you want to tell me what so yours is self-efficacy and online teaching, right? And you said you want to deepen the understanding. Where are you stuck? You know, where are you thinking you need to be more original? Maybe you don't need to be. If you want to give some more details, maybe we could work through it.
At the moment, that the concerns that I have regarding my dissertation topic is that because it's the theoretical framework and community of inquiry has never been linked to self-efficacy. So the number one concern would be, what if the linkage I make is not solid enough and valid enough? That would be my number one concern. And then I haven't done my data collection yet. So what I'm worried again is, what if I don't find anything interesting that I can show as my findings and discussions? so on.
Okay, so there are two kind of concerns. Okay, yeah. So first of all, you haven't. First of all, it's the idea of linking self-efficacy, which hasn't been done before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the second concern is your data, and what if it doesn't show anything?
Yeah.
And what field are you in? What's your?
It's education and technology.
Education and technology. Okay. Well, first of all, it never goes as planned in data collection. Okay, and that's for almost any field. Okay, and you know, like you, I mean, I work with people, and with the coronavirus, you know, my entire project continues to change. So first of all, your project will change when you collect data anyway. That's a given. But also, you will always find something with your data. You might not always find what you set out to find. And sometimes that's a blind spot. If you're only looking to find what you want to find, it can also be a limitation of your writing. You should always maintain a degree of openness and flexibility to allowing your project to change, okay? And that's something I think also markers and examiners look for is it's almost a good sign, really. It's almost a sign that you've done your research correctly, because everything is a variable and everything will change. So that, I wouldn't worry about that. If self-efficacy has never been looked at before, you're well on your way to demonstrating originality already. It sounds like you might not be confident about that as an approach. Making sure you're confident about that is exactly what you already know, right? Which we've been reinforcing here, which is just really linking that to what's already been written before, why it's important to look at it the way that you're looking at it, and how solid your methods are. If you can demonstrate that clearly, you create more of an airtight argument. Yeah?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You don't sound 100% convinced, but I mean, as you go through, I think the slide that's really useful is the is this checklist here. I think it's really useful to go through these. You don't have to do all of them. I hope nobody thinks that they have to do all of these things. It's any one of these things, right? But I think this can also be really useful. So yours might fit. Where do you think yours would fit in, Gina, to this?
I would say, I think the third question of theoretical and conceptual, do I interpret a theory within a different context? Because I am taking community of inquiry into self-efficacy context.
Right. So there you go. So now that you've isolated that, that's something that you want to, and this is for everybody, obviously. Once you've isolated what your original contribution is, that's what you want to make a big deal about. That's going to go in your abstract. That's going to go in your introduction. That's going to go in your conclusion as well. Yeah? That's going to be a kind of bedrock of your dissertation. Anybody else want to add where they think their originality component might fit in, where it fits in here on this checklist? Anybody else who's spoken, Charlie?
Hi, Samar. Yeah. Can I ask really quickly? So if it's, as you said, if it's like something new, it can be a new method, a new theory, or mm-hmm. just a new finding, a very small, maybe mm-hmm. a small one. Let's say if it's something new, or like that I found in my during my fieldwork, shall I just mm-hmm. interpret it as I'm interpreting anything else in my essay in the dissertation, or shall I use the like linguistic like somehow to like to emphasize it because it's something new? How do I have to make it very obvious that it's something new and it's like it's very important, or just interpret it as normal? Like I find this. I don't have to indicate that this is unique. This is exclusive.
Well, that's a really good question. Charlie, right? Is it Charlie who asked that question? Yeah, it's a really good question. And that will depend on where what you found fits into what already exists in your field. So you're saying it's something, so if you're saying you've gone out to do field work and you find something new, is that something new? Does that mean something new in terms of what you thought you would find? Or is that something totally new in terms of no one has ever written about that before? right? And then whether you, now the question of, after answering that question, the next question is this really an important thing, this something new or not? And whether it's important or not depends on, again, on what the literature already says, right? If this is something new and it's totally against, or something that has totally not been looked at by the literature, then it is something important that you need to make a big deal about. But it might not be, right?
Yeah.
It might be something new you find, but doesn't really make a difference in the field or in the literature. That's for you to decide later. And that's it's all part of a process. You know, you collect your data and then you kind of sit and look at it with all the other literature in mind. Yeah, it's a really good question.
Okay, got it. So if it's like something unimportant, I might even be selective to like add it or not. If something indeed like important to according like compared to the literature I'm using and the question I'm like proposing, so I can use my like language to emphasize it, but in like a formal and acceptable way, right? For example, like so this I don't have to be worried about like to make it sound like I'm exaggerating it.
Well, I mean, again, that pertains to how important it is, right? I mean, I think we do our research and everything we find, we think is important and exciting and we want to talk about it forever, right? The scale of how big of a deal you should make of it is, again, directly proportional to how it relates to the existing literature. And everything else out there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I think that answers my question. Yeah. Yeah. Basically, like proportionate to the importance. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I know this isn't 100% linked to what we're talking about, but I would say to all of you guys, and it's a reminder to me as well, that we kind of, you know, all of us who are doing research, we have to be okay with the uncertainty, and it's hard to say that in a time in which everything is uncertain and, you know, can be unbearable sometimes during a lockdown, but it's a good way to practice being okay with uncertainty. And that's uncertainty in our data collection as well, and uncertainty about how we might answer this originality checklist. You know, I'm someone who's very sort of theoretically conceptually oriented, and I would love to make a great theoretical innovation. I'm going to start my fieldwork at the end of June. It very well might be that the contribution I make is something methodological instead, you know, and that I will not know until after I collect all my data and start writing up, you know, so I have to be okay with that. And I think that it's for some people, it might be very clear right off the bat what's original, right? Like Dominare was saying, you know, this method's been done before, but never in Africa. Now I'm doing it in Africa. Pretty clear and straightforward. But other people, like Gina, saying, I want to deepen the understanding, where she deepens that understanding, she has an idea of where that might go. It might end up differently. And same for you, Charlie, as well, right? It could be something totally different. So we have to kind of be okay with that, with the uncertainty.
Yes. Uncertainty is a very good point. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. You're making good points as well. Any other questions? Anyone want to ask anything or offer or share anything, you know, maybe help another classmate if you have another idea for some of the questions that have been asked. Don't be afraid. Okay. If not, we have, what time is it? It's 3:05. We're good on time. We have a live marking kind of exercise looking at how to assess originality using an actual MPhil dissertation from Cambridge. Are you guys happy to, do you want to participate and kind of mark this live? Should we look at this? All right. So, oh, sorry. I have to put up bear with me. Sorry for 1 second. I have to put up the other text. There we go. Stop. This is the wrong one. Sorry. Okay, I don't know why this one keeps showing. Okay, it's different from me. Okay, can you guys see this? Yeah, there we go. Okay. So we've got, yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. We've got a dissertation here. Where might we start looking as markers for whether or not this has some originality in it? Should I scroll up? Yeah, this is the first page. I mean, I give you a hint. Some of it is on this page. So where do you think? Okay, so Gina's saying from the abstract. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. The abstract is a huge clue. I mean, I think we could even start with the title, right? We've got double standards, double standards, Romanians' attitudes towards the British, co-nationals, and other minorities in the UK. Yeah, Damilare, go ahead.
The title is Romanian attitudes towards the British co-nationals and other minorities in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it should be the other way, or not necessarily. For example, it should be like, what's the attitude of the British to the Romanians in the UK, rather? Or
okay, well, yeah. So that's an opinion of maybe something that you would find really interesting. And it would be an interesting piece of work to see what British attitudes are to Romanians versus other minorities in the UK. It's certainly an interesting question pre and current kind of Brexit phase. But for now, we're markers. We're exam markers now at the University of Cambridge Department of Sociology. How might we assess originality from this title? What are some clues? What are we thinking here? It's asking the question, double standards, right? So it's hinting towards this research question of whether or not there's a difference in Romanians' attitudes to British people versus other ethnic minorities or national minorities in the UK. So that might be a clue, okay? And again, we're not in this department, so we don't know the body of literature, but we would hope that something about this title here is contributing something original. But let's move on to the body of the work here. So here we've got our academic integrity here. So this dissertation is a result of my own work. And includes nothing which is the outcome of work done in collaboration except where specifically indicated in the text. Very important, and very important to take this seriously. Okay, Gina had said, I mean, we can always refer back to this if we need to, but Gina had said, let's look at the abstract. Okay, so the abstract, I apologize if it's annoying. Sometimes it's annoying when somebody reads and you have it in front of you, and you can also read and you have to wait for them. But I think because we're sharing a screen online, I'm just going to read it in case people miss things. So this is a qualitative study drawing mainly on the views and experiences of 45 Romanian citizens living in 5 British locations, Cambridge, Chester, Birmingham, Brighton, and Greater London. Okay. Gina, since you were good enough to offer that we should look at the abstract, as a way of assessing originality, from this first sentence, what can we find out here? What are we looking for? Or Damilare, yeah.
From that first sentence, the first sentence did not talk about, the 5 British locations. What's the rationale for choosing those places?
Okay, so there we go. So 5 British locations, maybe the people have only looked at London before. Maybe they haven't looked in these kind of at places that are less of an urban center. Maybe it's different out there. Could be something. Good point. What else? just in the first sentence. The first sentence is really rich with stuff that we can look at in terms of originality.
I think, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think at first, maybe clearly show use the qualitative study, the way analysis, the dissertation, and pick out the he or she interview 45 Romania citizens, right? Mm-hmm. In British locations. I think maybe in the first sentence to show this, that means maybe this is important things to tell the readers.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's the first thing I wrote down when I read the abstract exactly, is that it's a qualitative study. So perhaps it's been done quantitatively before, or perhaps there's a reason why this has to be only looked at qualitatively, but that might be a clue. Absolutely. Yeah. So we've got the kind of study it is, we've got where it takes place, and Domilare kind of mentioned, or maybe somebody else mentioned, 45 Romanian citizens. So maybe it's a different sample set. Maybe people have looked at more Romanians, but looked at them quantitatively. 45 is pretty good for a qualitative study. So maybe it's never been looked at in depth like this before. So these are all clues, okay? But I think this is a really good first sentence, to be honest, for an abstract. It's got a lot in there. Okay, first, this paper exposes, we're going to read through the abstract and then we're going to be a little critical as well. So don't worry, I'm not only going to be praising this. So first, this paper exposes discriminatory experiences Romanians encountered, particularly after disclosing their nationality. Okay, what do we learn from this sentence? That's original. And what word tells us that this is original research? No one wants to tell me what word here tells us that some of the research is original. It's this word here. Can I highlight it? Okay, exposes. So the fact that the paper exposes discriminatory experiences Romanian encountered is suggesting that it hasn't been discussed before in this particular way that the author is going to, because he or she is exposing certain practices. Okay, exposing means taking something out that's been hidden before. So a really good word choice there. Okay, second, it explores the attitudes they have about the British refugees, ethnic minority groups, and their own community in the United Kingdom. Okay, not much there. Not telling us if this has been explored before, if it's underexplored, overexplored, but okay, it's descriptive. Their negative attitudes, although multifaceted, usually target non-European migrants. Okay, interesting. Did we know this before? Or are we learning this now? So this section here, from a marker's perspective, and I come from I really think that it's best to be as clear as possible and to kind of hit people over the head with this is why work is original. So I think this area right here could really be improved by either telling us if this is something we already know or if this is something that we are learning through the fieldwork the author underwent, okay? So it could say something like, as so-and-so has already pointed out, they have negative attitudes that usually target non-European migrants. If no one's ever said it before, it might be good to say, actually, I just discovered this in my fieldwork, okay? So this could be improved here. Not terrible, it just could be improved. Participants, I'm over here now, okay? Participants tend to justify those views through a combination of unpleasant life experiences and information from third-party sources. Okay. Again, we don't know if this is a result of the original research or if this is something someone has already discovered and we're adding to it. Okay, now I'm over here. The British seem to receive more positive ratings, although they are still stereotyped, whereas other Europeans are almost invisible in the discussions. Regarding co-nationals, interviewees emphasize their feelings of disunity and skepticism towards Romanians in the UK. Okay, now we're getting into more about what the paper's going to do. Here we go. The paper discusses an apparent contradictory discourse. While condemning negative attitudes towards them as migrants, Romanians reinforce negative stereotypes about other ethnic and national groups who are usually migrants just like them. Okay? So what do you guys think of this sentence and its place in the overall and what we know about this research already? What do you guys think of this sentence? What does it tell us about the paper? What's original?
Hello.
Yeah.
I think the paper is an alternate hypothesis.
Is a what, sorry?
It's an alternate hypothesis. Like, it's, you know, it says okay. The paper discourses an apparent contradictory discourse. That means the contradictory discourse was thought to be the null hypothesis. Like, that is the normal. It's now trying to disprove what has been the normal. And that's what the paper is trying to say, a contradictory discourse. While condemning negative attitude towards them as migrants, Romanians reinforce negative stereotypes about other ethnic and national groups who are usually migrants just like them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm saying yeah. trying to explain, to disprove what has been the normal. Or maybe mm-hmm. not necessarily.
Yeah. And where do you think this is for anybody, where do you think this position here fits in on our originality checklist? Or you don't even have to link to the checklist, but what is it really doing? Where does it fit in? Is it a methodological contribution, a theoretical one? Where does it fit in?
I think it's theoretical.
Okay.
Theoretical.
Anyone else? Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. So there's this apparent contradiction, right? There are Romanians who are in the UK who are really upset that people have negative attitudes towards them as migrants. At the same time, they themselves are negative to other non-Romanian ethnic and national groups who are also migrants. So why is that the case? Why aren't people feeling unified as migrants? Why are they themselves discriminating on the basis of ethnicity and nationality, right? And especially if you're the recipient of being treated badly, why are you also treating others badly? I'm putting it in very crude language, but yeah, it's a theoretical and conceptual contribution to what looks like a contradiction. And that's a really good way to do research. So you can say contradictory discourse, you can say an apparent paradox, something like that. Okay, and let's look at the last sentence of the abstract over here, which is submitted a few days before the 2016 referendum on the UK's EU membership. This study considers broader questions of recent European migrants, integration and community cohesion, which should be explored in greater detail through future studies. Okay, what is the point of this sentence? What is it trying to tell us as the markers?
I think maybe this is the importance of this topic or the interest to attract readers or more researchers to explore this area. Maybe this is the meaning of this essay.
Yeah, I think you're right. But what is the this? Like, if you could spell it out.
You're absolutely right. It's a meaningful background.
Yeah, I mean, why is it important? I mean, yeah, okay, it sounds interesting. You know, I'm interested in lots of things. I'm interested, so yeah, okay, it sounds interesting. Why are Romanian migrants upset that, people are discriminating against them as migrants in the UK, but also discriminating against other non-Romanian migrants? Okay, it's interesting. Why should I care? That's like, honestly, the question you should ask yourselves when reading and writing your own stuff. Why should anyone care? And I don't mean it sounds cruel and mean. I don't mean it to sound that way. But the point is you have to convince people. Why is it important? Why is what you're doing important? So this is, you're absolutely right. You were saying, I mean, this is the why we should care. We should care because what? There was a referendum on the UK's EU membership. Okay. And this study, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and this study should be explored in greater detail through future studies. That means maybe if I were the author, I want to show the research I did maybe can help future studies. And so that's why it is important for you and me.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah, so it's doing a few of the things that we have kind of already talked about. It's placing it in a broader context. So there's, you know, potentially lots of research on migrants in the UK, which is currently going to really change based on Brexit, right? And that stuff, and so this study is going to add to other pieces of work that broadly considered will look at European migrants and their integration, okay? And I mean, yeah, you know, it was foreshadowing. There's interesting stuff in the news now about the UK and how with lockdown, actually, I think it was Romanians, please someone correct me if I'm wrong, who had to come in and help do labor, I think fruit picking and things like that in the UK because of the coronavirus and you know, European borders being closed and things like that. So this last sentence is telling us why this particular study is important, and it should be explored in greater detail through future studies. Now, do you guys think this is a very clear way of telling the marker why this is important? Do you think it should be clear? Do you think it's fine as it is? Do you think it's weak? What do you guys think?
Sumo. I think, yeah. So I think the first part until, which should be explored in greater, it's okay, regarding the last sentence. But I think that the last bit, which should be explored in greater detail through future studies, this, I don't know, but it doesn't sound as necessary to put in, I don't know, because it's like, it should be a study done by the author regarding the specific question and topic, but this last bit doesn't really like interpret what she's going to do about it. Basically, this author is like, do you know what I mean here? Because I was like, I don't usually see people like write down things like this at the very beginning. Like it can be put in like the evaluation part, so which I'm not sure if it's right or it's absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think sounds like maybe you're wanting the author to do more than the author is permitted to do within the scope of a master's dissertation. So, you know, he or she doesn't have to solve kind of a problem, but kind of has to just answer the question that's framed while also telling us why it's important and why we should care in a broader sense. Yeah, Gina?
Yeah.
In my opinion, the last sentence could be improved, possibly even divided into two parts, because I feel like the last sentence is serving two roles. Number one is indicating the importance, significance of the study. And number two is kind of showing that the author is acknowledging the limitations of its own research and try to defend it. So I think it would be better to divide the sentences into two to make it clear the significance of the study and then acknowledging the limitation in another sentence.
I think that's a really good point. Yeah, I think I would agree. I think that, I mean, this is me. I tend to err on the side of kind of assuming that nobody's going to figure things out unless I really spell it out for them. So I tend to err on the side of being like, this is really why this is important. And maybe, yeah, make it a shorter sentence, like you're saying, Gina. And also, yeah, which should be explored in greater detail through future studies. I don't know. It's fine. It's fine the way it is. I might use stronger language, you know, because of the referendum, it is now imperative that we have, you know, more studies that offer, you know, specific details and nuances on different migrants in the UK as we move forward with the referendum. I don't know, something like that. Like I said, it's not at all terrible, and it's always easy to be critical than it is to write our own original and good piece of work. So we have to keep that in mind. But yeah, I think I would agree that that this could be a lot stronger. And I tend to really want to hit people over the head with why I think what I'm doing is important. Okay, we have a few minutes. I think I just want to ask you one question and do one more thing, which is, where else would we find a hint of why this could be original research? Where else in this dissertation should we look? Yeah, Gina, go ahead.
Yeah, I think originality should be demonstrated in greater depth in discussion part.
Okay. So we've got, let's go up to this. So we've got, here's the contents, here are the contents. So where?
And findings and discussion.
Oh, right, there you go, sorry. Yeah, you said that, findings and discussion here, chapter 3. Okay, and where else might we look? Sorry, I accidentally clicked on that. Let's go back up. So findings and discussion, yeah. And where else? Here, research on Romanian migration, what already exists. Here, methodology, huge clue, research questions and purpose, okay?
Sorry, in my opinion, I think if you finish a dissertation, you have to, in your mind, you always to remind the reader and the marker, where is your original part? Because every part of the dissertation is service for you, maybe your task or your purpose. So maybe your methodology, maybe there's no new things, but this methodology is help you to analysis or address your topic. So maybe in the end of the part, you should remind marker and the readers. You use this methodology to solve this problem. And maybe in the introduction or discussion or conclusion part, you also have to remind again what you use or what your original content. I mean,
you're absolutely right. And so the reminder, I think, will be at the end in the conclusion. So let's go to that quickly. We have 1 minute, but let's just go to that quickly. So we've got a quote here: "We Romanians are not tolerant as a nation, but we want others to tolerate us." Okay, so based on this exploratory study right there, we've got a clue that this is exploring something now, okay? I cannot go as far as Karina's conclusion. Nevertheless, the data illustrated a contradictory discourse of Romanian interviewees, although this does not mean they are not tolerant as a nation. On the one hand, they saw themselves as victims, blah, blah, blah. Here, I'm here now. On the other hand, the Romanians who had these experiences usually stereotyped other groups. Let's go down. She's explaining more. Now here we go. Okay, further research on migrant attitudes as discussed in the discussion has the potential to help policymakers. Okay, these studies are needed to better predict and prevent more violent expressions of disaffection. Okay, so the author is linking this research to a call for far more research and linking it, its need and its validity to helping policy. Okay, and so we've got this here in the conclusion. And yeah, so it's over here. And we've also got here, this paper showed this, okay? I think, like I said, with the abstract, again, it's personal. Maybe I tend to err on the side of really hitting people over the head with what I'm trying to say and assuming they don't get it. So I would put probably, I have tried to show, I've tried to explore and show the contradictory attitudes towards ethnic and national minorities in the UK. I think it's important because, again, the EU referendum is coming up, and also regardless of that, we need help with, yeah, so we've got it here, especially in the context of the EU referendum, this is relevant. If more united, perhaps migrant communities would be dedicated to campaign for protecting their rights. So the author's hidden very important points about the relevance of this study here. Now, of course, a marker would read this, and of course the marker would find this here. All I'm doing is suggesting that maybe this should move up a little bit. That's all I'm trying to say, just to make it really clear. But the point is that it's in the abstract, it's in the body of the work as well, which we didn't look at in detail, but it's also in the conclusion. And I guarantee you markers are going to look at those two places, the title, the abstract, and the conclusion before looking at anything else. Okay, last thing is, who you cite is also, we've talked about this, but like where you choose to have your literature start and end is also a way of showing originality. If you've gone outside of your field and outside of the existing bodies of work to find something else, that could also be original here. Okay, that is it for now. We're out of time, but any kind of last minute pressing questions that anyone wants to ask me? No? Silence? Okay. Victor, do you want to say anything?
Hey, yes. Thank you so much for that, Summer. I think that it was really cool to have a kind of a more kind of a chatty discussing kind of style, which was really good, I think, because we definitely did get a lot of discussion going on, which I think was really good, and I definitely liked this kind of a different style, which is really cool. This was our Summer's lecture, guys, so there's going to be two more lectures left, and they're going to be delivered by Alexandra. But definitely, without doubt, we'll be doing other courses in the future. I'm sure we'll be seeing Summer again if you are ever going to be around for those. So that's more or less everything. I will just mention, actually, I've had a few questions about whether we also do kind of academic feedback or dissertations and so on. So because obviously dissertation season's kind of, well, a lot of us are in that season now. So if anybody's kind of wondering after the course about kind of academic feedback and proofreading and personal tutoring, then do come to me, and then, you know, we could talk about that. So yeah, just so you guys know that that is available. And then the other piece of news is that if anybody is interested after the master's in doing a PhD, we are going to be doing a PhD course. So there's going to be, as always, like a first free taster session. We'll send an email about that. But just thought I'd let you guys know as well, because I think a lot of the discussions that we have here are very kind of, well, close to kind of PhD level, in the sense that, you know, after the master's, you know, a lot of people then start thinking about the PhD. But okay, so that is everything from me today. Let's give a big thank you to Summer for kindly taking the time to share her views, her insights, and to give us feedback about the ways we think. And yeah.
Thank you guys, and good luck, you know, at the end of the day. Good luck.
Yeah, just a small reminder, so next week, so it's me again next week, and so next week is week 9, then we have week 10, which is the last week of the course, and next week will be on paraphrasing and avoiding plagiarism, and then the last week, week 10, will be really about thinking about when you finish writing your dissertation, what are the last steps you have to take, about proofreading, about making those small changes that will make the difference between a distinction and a merit, and so on. So I'll send, as always, the class exercise for next week on Monday morning, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week.